Good evening. Let's open in a word of prayer. We are thankful, Lord Jesus, that thou didst come into this scene to save sinners. And we commit the meeting to thee even tonight for any soul that is present amongst us that's still without thee, Lord Jesus, that thou will draw them to thyself as we bless thy holy name. Amen. Sometimes when you are looking to the Lord of that which is suitable, you would look for a word, you would look for a statement, you would look for a expression that someone will use. Because as we all know, that the Word of God is extremely rich and can give one a lot of themes to proclaim the Lord Jesus. But I dare to say that for today, the Lord impressed upon me the word come. And I want to read a few verses, and my dear friend, and I want to talk to the children as my own children, because I have four of them, and I care about children. I want you to listen very carefully, and I want you to not talk. And for those that might be looking for to see if they got any important message on their iPhone, I'm going to ask you, please turn it off. Unless you might be receiving an urgent call, you can keep it on vibration or silence. But if there is no urgency, I'm going to ask you, in the spirit of love, to turn it off. There is a verse that have impressed me lately in 2 Timothy, when he was telling him, be instant. That word, be instant, means be urgent, proclaiming the word in season and out of season. Just what touched me with that word is the urgency of the gospel. Because none of us can guarantee anything in life. When we have heard about the fire warning, we have to step out because it's an urgent matter. We don't want anyone to get hurt. The gospel has the urgency to save souls because God does not please, He has no pleasure in the death of the sinner. So it is a matter of urgency. God is still opening before you the day of grace so that regardless of your age, regarding of your background, regardless of it all, God desires to bring you to the saving knowledge of His well-beloved Son. So I want to read a few verses, and I trust you all have your Bibles. But just in case, you did not bring your Bible with you, I want you to listen carefully because they are going to be very simple verses for all of us, all ages, to remember. But I want you to keep in the back of your mind that it is an urgent message. 2015, Grove City, wonderful. We all have set our plans for the remainder of the week. And we all already planned in our minds what we're going to do tomorrow in the gym and so forth. But I want you to take a few minutes today, this evening, to recognize that there is an urgent matter that you need to settle even tonight between you and God. So turn with me. If I ask the question, what is the most known verse in the Bible? I will dare to say that many of you will tell me John 3:16. But we're not going to turn there also. We're going to rehearse it. But if I ask you, especially for those children that have learned from Sunday school, what is the most second verse that is known by all? Which one would you say? The second verse that I would suggest to you that is known and learned by all of us, apart from John 3:16, I dare to say the verse that I'm going to read now. And you tell me if I'm right or wrong afterwards, not now. So turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11. And I want to read verse 28. I want to read 4 different verses. And I want to explain why am I reading these 4 verses. You will all find out that they have a common word by the name of come. This morning we sang together how wonderful that thou the Son has come. The brother in the word of ministry has rehearsed that verse. How wonderful that thou the Son has come. And this evening in the first hymn and in the last hymn, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. And my prayer tonight that you would respond to the verse that we're going to quote tonight that the Lord Jesus has asked from you and from me. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me. Now I want all of you, especially the children, to highlight the word come. Come unto me. All ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So I'm trying to read it as clear as possible with my accent as well. Go with me to the Gospel of John chapter 4 and verse 29. Come see a man. Come see a man. Which told me all things that ever I did. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. And verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And I want you to listen very carefully what the Lord Jesus is saying. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. John chapter 21 and verse 12. And we have one more verse after that. Simple verses. I trust that you can memorize them. The Gospel of John chapter 21 and verse 12. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. That's a favorite subject of mine. Come and dine. And the last scripture is from the last book in the Bible and the last chapter in the Bible, and that is Revelation chapter 22, and I'm going to read verse 17. This is after the Lord Jesus himself said in verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. But I want you to be taking notice of that verse. I'm going to ask you to highlight it and to listen carefully. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And let him that is athirst, come. The reason I read to you these different verses about this wonderful word come, although if there might be some Greek theologians amongst us, let me make it clear that they are not all the same word when we read it in the English language, come. But they're all from the same root word, and the message is in English, thank God for it. So we're not going to preach in the Greek language. We're going to attempt to present to you the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus in a language that you can understand. So I read these 3 different occasions because I want to set the foundation before you that the Lord Jesus, when he was here on earth, he said, come. Now listen carefully. That the Lord Jesus, when he was here on earth, he said, come. That the Lord Jesus in resurrection, he said, come. And the Lord Jesus, he is in glory, he said, behold, I come. The setting the foundation is this. What I desire to present you this evening is with the Lord Jesus Christ, not only an individual, a blessed God that came from heaven and became a man to die for you and he remained in the grave. God forbid. The same blessed one who has extended the invitation to each and every one of us, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, is the same one who has conquered death, conquered sin, and was raised on the 3rd day. And that's why he could tell his disciples in the day of resurrection or after he was raised, come and dine. I want to talk a little bit about it. But also this blessed one who has been raised from amongst the dead. He is now seated at the throne of God. And it is from that glorious place that he occupies. He still declares, he that is athirst, come. And he can declare that, behold, I come quickly. So this blessed one is speaking. Not only that he spoke when he was here on earth, but he is still speaking to mankind as he is there in glory. So now let's settle the question of come in the next 20 minutes that I have. This wonderful, simple word that maybe someone will simplify it so easy for you. Maybe after the meeting you can talk to Brother Bob Costin. We learned it when he was younger, is that come includes everyone. Children, old people, middle people, and everyone. Amen? We heard that, we enjoyed it, and this is what we're going to talk about tonight. Come unto me, all ye that labor. The invitation of the Lord Jesus asking you to come is simply because it's an appeal of a person that loves you. Now, I want you to consider for a moment, little child, little girl, my daughter, my son, older man, whatever friend you might be with us. I want you to take hold of the love of God. Because if every soul will take hold of the love of God, they will understand the depth of the love of God and they will come to the Lord Jesus and accept Him as Savior. God loved you so much. The Bible said, for God so loved the world. He loved you tremendously. And the measure of His love was nothing less than the Son of His love, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have heard in the word of ministry that the one that came to earth is no one less than the eternal Son of God, who in love divine, because of the greatness of the love He has for you. You know what this says about the book of Malachi? When the prophet opened the book, he says, thus says Jehovah, I have loved you, said the Lord. I have loved you. And sometimes you ask within yourself, when you know your own history, when you own your own filthiness and the nature that is in you, you would ask, why would you love me, O God? What is so lovable in me? There is nothing lovable in me. But that's how God acts. He acts out of the abundance of His nature because the Bible said God is love. And because God is love, He's going to act upon His nature and come and do something to bring salvation to mankind after he failed because of sin. When sin came into this world, that the only place that you and I were worthy of is eternal damnation, eternal destruction. That's what the Bible said. That's why it says in that wonderful verse, for God so loved the world that he sent his unique Son, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, what? Should not perish. That tells me that the result of sin was perishing. That tells me, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. So God loves me. But I have offended God in disobeying Him, and I was born in sin, and sin is totally contrary to the mind of God. But God is love. God is holy and God is love. He said, listen, because I loved you so much, I'm going to bring a remedy. I'm going to bring a solution. I'm going to bring a way of escape. I'm going to bring a way so that your soul and my soul will be secured for heaven eternally. Because God so loved the world. And because God acts in love, He sent none other but the Lord Jesus. How wonderful that thou the Son has come. Why did He come? He came to die for you. He came to die for me. He came to pay a penalty of sin that is available for all of us. He came that you might repent. And repentance in the Bible is changing direction. He came that He might go to a cross that you and I deserve. He came that He might be mocked by men. But He came that He might endure a judgment from the hand of a holy God. And that holy God is the same God that loved me and that loved you. That loved me and loved you. And because he is holy, he said, listen, my son, the Lord Jesus, has come into this world and he poured his judgment upon him. Your judgment, not his. The Lord Jesus was the sinless one. The Lord Jesus knew no sin. In him there was no sin. But God, oh, I tell you, dear brethren, we would never dare to say it in our own lips that Christ was made sin if the scripture doesn't record it for us. Now you think for a moment, young child, that Christ Jesus was made sin. God judged him in the same way he will judge sin itself. Because God is holy, but God is love. Because he loved you so much, he was willing to offer and deliver his son, the Lord Jesus, for us all. The just for the unjust. You know why the Lord Jesus came? He came so that you can be brought to God. He came to earth so that one day you can be brought to where? To heaven. He came and endured the judgment from the hand of Holy God so that you will never see judgment. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And the voice of the Lord Jesus, listen very carefully, it's a very simple verse. Come unto me. Let me ask you tonight. Do you have a heavy burden? Do you have anything that is burdening you? Do you have anything that is laying upon your conscience? Do you have anything that you have committed against God? Well, all our lives, when we are acting in sin, it's against God. But here's the Lord Jesus is still echoing in his blessed voice. You come to me. This is the assurance of the eternal Son of God. You know what? The Lord Jesus does not change his promises. Does not change his invitation. Does not change his word, because he's the unchanging one. If he said, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, you can bank it, you can take it to the bank, that the Lord Jesus will give you a rest. This is not our subject to talk about the different rest in the Bible. But think about it, that all what is bothering you, the sleepless nights, and all these things that you might be going through, the Lord Jesus will give you rest. All you have to do is say, I come. Come to the Lord Jesus. Come. Because you will get rest. The second verse I read that he also uttered when he was on earth, that he said, the Father, those that he has given him, they will come, and those that will come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Listen, let me tell you about the love of this blessed person, the love of this blessed Redeemer, that the measure of his love, that if you will make a step tonight, now listen carefully, and for any soul, for any individual, maybe that when you have accepted the Lord Jesus and doubts have taken over and you are doubting whether you belong to Christ or not, listen, the words of the Lord Jesus, I in no wise will cast him out. Standing on the promises of God. When Christ will promise something, he will stick by it. We always say God will do anything. No, God cannot do certain things. He cannot lie. God doesn't deny himself. He cannot do these things. It's against his nature. But if you will come to the Lord Jesus, you can rest assured that he will never cast you out. This means that you have eternal security. Nothing will hinder you because the work was never yours. You didn't die on the cross. If you will not come to the Lord Jesus, you're going to pay for your sins. But if you will come to him as your Lord and Savior, that's it. The question of your sins have been settled. Because as I said earlier, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? It's eternal life. When God gives something, he will never take it back. When God will bless, he will never take it back. And if the Lord Jesus said, you come to me, come to him tonight. Come to him as the Savior of the world. And if you will come to him, he said, I will no wise cast out. Listen, one thing that I know Christ don't believe in. He is not a man. You see, when somebody will come to me and they're applying for a job, most of the time you will tell them, well, we will get back to you. Why? Because you are weighing your options. You want to see what is the best person that will fit the position you might have, correct? So it's called a resume, and the second thing is, I want to think about it, so we will let you know. We'll give you a call. This is how man will treat others. But the Lord Jesus does not believe with this delayed answer. He doesn't say that, give me your resume, give me your credentials, and I'll let you know if I'm going to save you or not. You let me know how good you are, and I will let you know if I'm going to bring you with me to heaven. No, he said, you come to me, and no wise I will cast you out. Come to the Lord Jesus. You come to him, and you will find out that he is a great loving Savior. Why does Christ want to save me? Why does he want me to come to him as Savior? Because we might think that so many ways that Christ will ask me to come and then leave me on my own. And that's it. So that my name becomes a Christian, so that I can proclaim I was born a Christian or I became Christian. No. I want you to consider this for a moment. Please listen very carefully. I'll try to make it as simple as possible. So many of us have certain people that we admire. Let's face it. Let's face it. If you try to get an appointment with the president or the prime minister of Canada or wherever you come from, believe it or not, you might not get it. You will get a letter. Thank you for your inquiry. We thankful you love your country, but at the present time, you cannot come. But I want you to take hold of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I want you to take hold of that thought. The Creator of all things. The one that created you and created me. The one that the Bible says it spoke and it was done, commanded and stood still. The one who said that there be light and there was light. This same one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't only want you to come to him so that he can relieve you from all your burdens and save your soul. But he would say, you come and dine with me. You come and dine. Now, could you imagine one that is greater than all the presidents and all the prime ministers in the world combined? The one in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, that is greater than all the great men and women of faith, greater than all of them combined, would desire for you to come and dine, to come and have fellowship, to come and be able to talk with the Lord Jesus. To come and to be able to pray to the Lord Jesus. To come and to commune and have intimate time. You know, all of us like to have friends, right? Do you have friends? You do? And when you have friends, sometimes we have this close relationship that we can talk about intimate things. We can, you know, confine with them everything that is burdening us. Well, the Bible says that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is no one that you can talk with and enjoy the intimacy with him like the Lord Jesus. It's just a challenge. You have to come. Just come to him tonight. And when you come to him as Savior, you'll start enjoying this wonderful communion and fellowship with him as this blessed Savior and Redeemer that saved your soul. Come and dine. And the reason I read the Gospel of John chapter 4 is because every word should be established by the word of 2 or 3. The Son of God has come into the scene. Behold, I come to do thy will, O God. And his will was to die for you on Calvary's cross. You can never exhaust the subject of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he died for you. You better take it personally tonight. That Christ Jesus died for you. Don't include the whole world for a moment, although he did. But if you are in your seat tonight, I want you to know and take it personal that Christ Jesus died for you. And the reason he died for you is because he loved you. And his desire is to save you. And his desire is to give you rest. And his desire is to redeem you. And his desire that you might repent and change direction and come back to him. But also he has his own desire. And you know what God's Son has a desire for you? is that you come and dine. You come and communicate and talk with me. That's why he said in the Gospel of John, if people will abide in his word, his Father and him will come and make their abodes with him. God delights. God. We talk about the blessed God here, who delights to have communion and talk and have a conversation with each and every one of us. No wonder Proverbs chapter 8, it says, and his delights were with the sons of men. You come and dine. Come and be saved. Come to the Lord Jesus. And when you come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, you will enjoy this wonderful time. You come and dine, this wonderful fellowship I can enjoy in his presence. But I said earlier that I like to bring someone else that is presenting for you to come. And that was a woman in the Gospel of John chapter 4. She was one with many husbands and she went through many divorces. You know why? Because she lacked love. She never met real love. She never was introduced to the love of God. She never knew the love of a Savior. She knew something that man will call love, that have no understanding of what love might mean. But this woman that lacked love, she never found love, never. That's why she changed husband after husband. And the last person that was with her was not her husband. Why? Because she was looking for love. And she met the real lover of her soul. Some of you would know one of my favorite hymns is in the Choice Hymns. It's number 309. The writer put it this way, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. But the thought of it, Jesus, the lover of my soul, this woman that have experienced the love of God, that has met the Lord Jesus, the one who loved her and died for her on Calvary's cross. He says, you know what she's saying? She is saying still in our days, come, see a man. Come see a man. Come see the Lord Jesus. Come and taste him. Come and take of him. And you will find out for yourself that you will find eternal rest. Your soul will be saved from hell. And you'll be brought to the Father's house. You know what struck me, Brother Kevin, when you put it is well with my soul? During ministry, for those that were with us, we have heard that there is a young man of number of 27 years old wrote, Jesus, thou art enough, the mind and heart to fill. And he passed away when he was 27 years old. Death does not discriminate. He might take you when you are 5, when you are 6, when you are 20, when you are 40, when you are 80, when you are 100. Death does not discriminate. I was struck with that hymn. Because what would it take for a man to write such a hymn? It is well with my soul. You know the story behind this one? I want to make it very short. I'm not going through details. But this is a man that lost his family. His whole family. And the next thing he puts on a paper, it is well with my soul. Can you imagine this? What will make the Shunammite woman when she went to see the prophet and her husband is dead? Not her husband. Probably she'd have wished her husband rather than her child. But her child was dead. And the prophet will ask her, is it well with thee? She would say, it is well. It is well. How could a man that lost his family? We all have families and we know what it means. If I have the choice, if God will face me and say, John, I'm going to take your family. What do you think I will do? What do you think you will do? What do you think you will do? You will go on your knees and you will beg, Lord, take me, but don't take my family. And this is a man that have lost everything that is important to him except his trust in his Redeemer and Savior. And when the Lord took his family away, he can put it in paper. It is well with my soul. You know why it was well with his soul? Despite all the difficulties that he has to face. Because he came to the Lord Jesus. Because he knew the love of the Savior. Because he understood that Christ Jesus took his place there on Calvary. He paid this penalty. His sins had been forgiven. But he also knew that his family trusted in him as well. That's why he could say, "It is well with my soul." My dear child, listen, some of you are sitting in the front and some of you are sitting in the back. I want to tell you, I would say it time after time, and I want you to take a moment to think of that thing, of that verse that I'm going to quote in closing. When Joseph in the Old Testament was trying to bring some pressure upon his brethren to bring them to repentance, one of Joseph's brothers, Judah, when Joseph decided to take Benjamin from him, he says, "You go to your father." You know what he said to his father, to Joseph? He came, I could only imagine that he came and whispered in his ears. And he said to him, "How could I go to my father without the lad? How could I go to my father without the lad?" And I want to tell you something, little children. We come and we have fun and we enjoy the conference. But I want to tell you that the most important thing to the heart of your parents is that you will be saved. You will come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And I will dare to say, as a parent, that this is the most important thing in life. Come to the Lord Jesus. Because he said, when he is in glory, when he was on earth, he says, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." In resurrection, he told you that, "Come to me and dine. You can enjoy this wonderful fellowship and communion with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, with the one who is God over all, blessed forever. You can enjoy it." But he said, "I come quickly." Listen, in closing, I'm going to tell you this. The Lord Jesus is coming. He's coming any second to take those that have accepted him. He's coming at any moment to take those that have came to him as Savior. And you know the beauty of it is we don't know when he would come. I want you to understand that thought for a moment. We're closing. That any second, if he would come in 2 minutes, and you don't come to the Lord Jesus as Savior, you have missed the boat. You have lost your chance. There is no more coming to him as a Savior. You know what he said in Revelation chapter 2? He says, "Repent, or else I will come quickly upon you and I will fight you." This means that you will be brought into judgment. If you will not come to the Lord Jesus even tonight, the one who extended the invitation, extended the same message of love and grace, "You come unto me and I will give you rest." If you will not take hold of his promise that he in no wise will cast you out, if you will not understand that the one who is God over all came here as a man to die for you on Calvary's cross, he conquered death, he conquered the grave, he has been raised on the third day, and he is seated at the right hand of God, who have every desire to talk with you, to commune with you, to dine with you, to fellowship with you. And if you will not take hold of that truth that he said, "Behold, I come quickly." He came and died for you. What's your response? Are you going to accept him as your Lord and Savior? Are you going to come to the Lord Jesus? Come. Don't worry about your surroundings. Don't worry about your iPhone and iPod and everything that the world is trying to impress upon you. Selfie and Elfie and every other thing. Now lately it's the selfie. We finish with the iPod, now we get into selfie, and I wonder what will be in the next 2 months, 3 months, next year. What's the next thing they're going to invent? Everything is around me. No, I want to tell you, not everything is around you. It's not about I, it's not about selfie. It's not about you, it's not about me. It's about one blessed one. The whole universe circles around the Lord Jesus. You might not see it right now, but you will see it in the coming day. So you better come to the Lord Jesus even tonight. Because if he would come to take those he loved and died for, you will not be able to come to him again as a Savior. So why don't you come to him tonight? So we're going to close without the piano. I like to close the message with two verses from two different hymns. We're going to sing them because I'm sure the saints would know them. But I'm going to tell you what you need to ask tonight. That's the first time. And everyone, we're going to sing it twice. The first one is called Into My Heart. You know it? Into My Heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And when we sing this twice, and just when you think it's over, I have another chorus. Another one verse. Because if you will come to the Lord Jesus into my heart, then I'm going to tell you the second one when we sing the first one. But in your seat as we are singing Into My Heart, I want you to just be quiet. Silence between you and God and the Spirit of God. And allow the Spirit to impress upon your soul, my dear friend, wherever you are, up there or down here, my little child. I know the desire of your parents, that they want you to be saved and to be brought to heaven. So when we sing this song, I want you just to have this holy hush and let the Spirit of God impress you so that you can ask the Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come to the Lord Jesus. And if you would come tonight, you'll be able to sing the second one, just one verse. We'll sing it twice. And it is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me. No, I messed it up. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me. Thy great salvation, so rich and free. Some of you would like to sing it, so great and free, feel free. But we're going to sing it, and we're going to close in prayer. So come to the Lord Jesus, and if you will take that step, you can listen to the brethren singing, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thy great salvation, so rich and free. Let's bow our heads. Once again, I'm going to extend it to all of you who is sitting with us tonight and doesn't know Christ as Savior, that you will come to Him. Come. Come to the Lord Jesus. If you're struggling with the question of your eternal salvation, please also be assured that once He saves you eternally. If you want to talk, and if you want to come to Him, many of us will be here. Don't be ashamed. Just come to the Lord Jesus. This might be your last chance. We don't know. But it might be your last chance. And if you don't have a Bible, and you like to have a Bible, I would love from you to come and see me. I would love to give you a Bible for you to read. Just come to the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we bow humbly before Thee.
When we take hold of how much Thou hast loved mankind, that Thou would send the Son of Thy love, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us on Calvary's cross, and there to take and answer the question of our sin and sins. Our God, we thank Thee for this wonderful opportunity, another day of grace, and Thy voice will still proclaim today, if Thou will hear my voice, harden not your hearts. We pray this evening for any person that is still without the Lord Jesus as Savior, that Thou will draw him to Him, our God and our Father. Thou will make him a part of the household of faith. Thou will let them see how great Thou art, and Thou will let them understand the richness of Thy grace, the richness of Thy mercy, the riches of Thy glory. O blessed God and Father, we pray for these souls that need salvation, that Thou will attract them to the Lord Jesus Himself. We give Thee thanks for this time, and we pray that once more Thou will draw people unto Him, for He is worthy, as we give Thee thanks and ask all these things in His precious and worthy name. Amen. Please, you can leave quietly for those that are leaving. And for those that need to know and come to the Lord as Savior, please stay behind. Talk to your parent. Talk to the friend who brought you, or talk to me. Talk to a brother. But let us leave quietly, please.